it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Man, he is good. This is Teddy Swims, by the way.
Such a good
Has
show.
Has he already played at
that
T-Mobile?
You? Two weeks ago.
It was 2 weeks ago?
Wasn't it Starlight?
God, I love this
was
song.
Was it Starlight?
Yes, it was.
Right off the record.
That you?
Man, he's got a great voice.
He sounds exactly the way he sounds.
Dana was in the front row and nobody else could hear him.
It
was crazy.
Been there,
Paul McCartney.
Oh, you missed it, Dana. On Friday,
right
I shared my Turnpike Troubadours experience.
Have you not heard this story?
No.
So he goes to see the Turnpike Troubadours last week.
Mm-hmm. Where were they last week?
They were down at...
I thought they were at Red Rocks.
Uptown.
They were uptown.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah,
go
very
ahead.
Very intimate, very amazing.
Yes.
Very oversold. And so we were unable to find standing room space. That's how oversold it was. So we picked a couple of seats to sit in. And I go to the bathroom to grab a bottle of water or whatever right at the beginning of their set.
Yeah.
And all of my friends shifted me over from the left side of our group to the right side of our group.
So he was on the left side of four guys.
Okay.
He comes back. They've all moved one seat to the left. He's now on the far right.
Okay.
At first, I was like, they were just making it easier, so I didn't have to walk past all three of them. That's cool, whatever. And it took about 4.5 seconds before I realized why they really moved me over to the far right. Because the lady to my right was screaming every single song at the top of
Dana.
Their lungs.
She was a
no.
Dana. Yeah, she was a Dana Wright.
And if you know anything about the Turnpike Troubadours, you know the vocals are soft.
Mm-hmm.
They're not screaming into the microphone.
No, Diamonds and Gasoline is not one to be screamed.
Yeah. So the only way that I could enjoy the show to its full potential was to scream even louder than the lady next to me.
Well, sometimes you can't beat him, you join him, Sam.
I was watching Turnpike with Dana Wright.
Yep.
The whole show.
You're welcome.
The USA Today is out with their power rankings for the NFL heading into week number two. The Chiefs, would you care to guess where they are?
This is the top 10. We did not do great in our debut. So
that is correct.
In the top 10, are we in the top 10?
Preseason, the Chiefs were ranked third.
Okay. I'm going to say seventh.
Eighth.
Okay. Not bad.
Eighth. The biggest jump is the Chargers, who went from 18 to 7. My Steelers are number 9.
For now.
All right.
At the moment, I don't technically hate Aaron Rodgers as much as I did before.
Oh.
Well, you throw 4 touchdown passes, I'm going to start to like you. Here's your top 5. The LA Rams, number 5.
Okay.
Ravens, number 4.
Yeah.
Packers, number 3. Bills, number 2. And the Eagles are number 1.
Of course.
Mm.
Hey, I like it, though. As Andy Reid says, you can doubt the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
I thought that was Mitch Holtis.
But it was a good quote.
Yeah, that was a nice try.
Didn't Andy say that?
Hmm?
No, Mitch did.
Okay. Sorry, Mitch.
End of a playoff game.
And Andy.
A couple seasons ago.
I think Andy said something like, how about those
Chiefs?
But yeah. I do think that we were too confident last season. We need to get a couple losses under our belt to really understand.
Okay. Breaking Bad actor Raymond Cruz was arrested on Monday morning. You may not know the name. You would certainly know the face. After allegedly spraying multiple women with a hose.
Could you describe the hose?
Garden hose, Dana. It was a garden hose.
Okay.
Cruz, who is 60, was arrested by the Los Angeles Police Department and charged with battery. He was released without bail.
Charged with battery.
Right. It is not clear how many women were involved, but at least one of them chose to press charges.
What were they doing to get sprayed by the hose?
Are we victim blaming, Dan?
Ooh. No, I'm just wondering.
Dan, I don't know what they were doing that would warrant being sprayed by a hose. Maybe they were walking in the neighborhood, recognized him from Breaking Bad, wanted an autograph or a photograph.
He's Tuco, by the way, in Breaking Bad. For anyone like, who is this? You know exactly who he is. The minute you see him.
Like I said.
Oh my gosh, he's with one of the scariest characters in Breaking Bad.
You don't know the name, but you would definitely recognize the face.
Could he argue self-defense?
Does spraying somebody with a hose really warrant a battery charge?
I don't think it does.
I mean,
now we did see that video of that San Francisco store owner where the homeless lady was sitting on the sidewalk.
Totally different.
And he was just, pardon my phrasing, blasting her in the face with the hose.
He was attacking her.
Yeah, that was battery.
They're saying he was spraying water at, quote, women in front of his home. The women were reportedly harassing him as he was washing his car, according to a statement from his agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out washing his car, minding his own business. Right. Some women come by. Did they know who he was? I don't know.
Probably. I mean, he like you said,
he's a pretty
you don't know his name, but
recognizable
you know,
face.
You know his face. Yeah.
Something about parking. Like he had asked the women to move their white minivan.
Listen to his agent's statement.
Well, if you drive a white minivan, you probably deserve to be sprayed.
Raymond is happy this is done with. He is a big supporter of law enforcement, has no criminal history whatsoever. He has no idea who these women are or why they were harassing him on his own front lawn while he was trying to wash a car. They were not neighbors. Hmm. He has a court date, by the way, scheduled for October. Really?
Asked them to move the car too close to his and... He was washing his car, and when he turned, he was still holding the hose.
Oh, so it was an accident. Oopsies.
No, I think he was like, move it along.
Didn't see you there.
I also don't think that's battery.
Leave me alone. Yes, I'm the guy from Breaking Bad. Leave me alone. Go about your business.
But move it along, Marge.
It's not like, again, it's not like he was just full-on soaking their face.
Do we know that?
Well, based on Dan's description.
It's not clear how old the person was. It was like a daughter.
This is not battery, Dan.
It is not battery.
This is not battery.
Or how wet she got.
Are you arguing that this is battery?
No. I'm just laying out.
He's overcharged.
Could it be that they took it to the police because they're looking for a settlement?
Probably.
He's an actor. He's probably rich.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get him to... spray us with a hose, like the guy who threw the water bottle at Mike Tyson.
Totally different scenario.
Well, and he got what was coming to him.
Because a water bottle theoretically could harm you. Spraying somebody with a hose does not, in most cases.
It does not hurt you.
Unless you're in the Land of Oz.
I'm sure Tyson's fist coming in contact with that plane passenger's face did some harm.
Can you imagine getting punched in the face by Mike Tyson?
No. But I think that guy was asking for it. I think that guy wanted to be punched in the face because he wanted a payday.
He wanted to sue Mike Tyson and
punched
he wanted to
face.
Get paid.
There are weirdos out there.
Sam Stevie!
Really? That was actually kind of funny.
I'm not laughing.
I am. got punched in the face. Kansas City could soon allow lounges where marijuana use is allowed on site. As the concept continues to emerge in Missouri, the city has provisions on the books for marijuana dispensaries and sites that can cultivate or manufacture marijuana products, but lounges where people can use marijuana products on the premises are currently not allowed in Kansas City. Officials are now working on drafting new rules and licensing regulations that would change that, creating a new type of marijuana business allowed in the city after voters legalized recreational marijuana statewide.
Like a pot bar.
It would basically be a pot bar. That is correct.
And establishments already, I mean, people do it, right? And so they come out and they're like, hey, you got to walk off the property if you're going to light that up because we could get in trouble. So I don't see the reason not to. Other than the argument of they might get in a car and drive home, but if you're serving
well,
booze,
but the same thing
you could
with
say
the bar.
The same thing for alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it happen.
But if you're in a bar and you're the DD, right?
Ugh.
You don't get a contact drunk from sipping Pepsi. Whereas if you're the DD at a marijuana lounge, you're going to get a contact high.
I'm sure that there will be regulations about, like, hotboxing the building.
But remember before when we had, for a brief amount of time, you had smoking bars and non-smoking bars?
Mm-hmm.
Back when you could still smoke in some cigarettes in some bars.
Can you still smoke in a casino?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
So back then, you know, if you didn't want your clothes smelling like cigarette smoke, you would avoid the bars where that was allowed.
That is, or restaurants.
Or restaurants where that was allowed. This would be no different, right? You just wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there.
Bars in Raytown still let you smoke in them too.
Are they, quote, like private clubs where you have to have a membership and there's like a little keyhole?
I think it's just Raytown municipal code.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you say keyhole?
You know that little bar that used to be down here?
Club, and
you
had to
have,
like, there.
You had to have, quote, a membership to
it's
get
right
in?
It's right around the corner from Lamar's Donuts.
Yeah.
Is it called the Keyhole?
It is called the Keyhole.
Been there.
It is a private club, and I have never been inside. But when I would go get donuts for the kids on a Saturday morning, there were a mountain of cigarette butts outside the door.
Ugh.
A mountain.
All right, when we get back, can we please talk about what the heck happened to this couple in Queens? Have you read this story?
Is this the couple that got caught on
yes!
fire?
Yes! You guys, there is a manhunt underway for some nut who went into this couple's home for like 5 hours. And we'll tell you what happened. Their son is a paramedic. It's a terribly sad story. And who they're looking for and why, straight ahead.
913-586-7798.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from CNN. It is disturbing, to say the least. A manhunt is underway after an elderly couple was found dead in their home. This is out of New York. Both beaten before their attacker set their house on fire, according to the New York City Police Department. The incident began on Monday morning when the attacker was caught on Ring doorbell, knocking on the back door of a home in Queens, New York, according to law enforcement. He was let inside by a 77-year-old man who lived in the home. Once inside, the attacker, who was believed to be in his 30s or 40s, beat the elderly couple. He then set the house on fire before leaving.
He was there over 5 hours.
Neighbors called the elderly couple's son, who is a New York City Fire Department paramedic, after they saw the home was on fire. The couple's son, along with firefighters and police, rushed to the scene. Once the flames were extinguished, authorities found the battered couple inside. The elderly man was found tied up in the basement. His wife, a 78-year-old woman, was found on the first floor.
It is absolutely awful. There is no known connection between the suspect and this couple. The New York Post just updated this, Scott. They have identified him as a 42-year-old ex-con.
Oh, so they know.
They have not released his name. The suspect, who has not been officially identified, had earlier knocked on other doors in the neighborhood asking to charge his cell phone, but was turned away. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Someone on foot walks up to your house, knocks on the door, and says, "Hey, my car broke down. Can I charge your cell phone?" I think 99% of people would say
no,
but you feel what? You feel guilt. You feel compassion.
No, I don't.
You feel, let me just turn around and I can give you a charger, but you can't come into the house. And I have a feeling this 78-year-old man answered the door and the guy said, "Hey, can I charge my phone?" And in the 1 second, the guy turned around to kind of be like, he barged his way in.
But it said, the story says that the 77-year-old man let him into the house. Let him.
And I think they know that because they had a Ring doorbell. I think there's evidence suggesting the exchange.
Well, and if you're an unsuspecting 70-some-odd-year-old man and, you know, you have a thought process where you believe the best in people no matter what, you're thinking, okay, I'll just let him in, he'll charge his phone, and then he'll go. But there's so many horror stories that start that way.
And you guys think I'm crazy because I will not answer my door unless I know you're coming over. I had an incident earlier today. I don't even know who was at the door. Thank goodness I have a dog now that goes crazy.
Good.
When she hears somebody knock on the front door. Somebody knocked on the front. I was upstairs. I was getting ready for work. And I heard a knock on the front door. Lizzie lost her ever-loving mind.
Good.
This is the first time that I've been around when somebody knocked on the door and she's in the house. She lost it. So I thought for sure, if this is a ne'er-do-well who's here to ne'er-do-well, they're not coming in because she sounds like a really, really big dog. And she's tough as nails. I just proceeded to go to the master closet. Excuse me. Primary closet. And I looked out the window, and I watched somebody just walk away. I don't even know what they were there for. Maybe sell me something. I have no idea. This is why you don't ever answer your door.
The suspect was on probation after being released from a 17-year state prison sentence in 2023. 17 years would suggest to me that's murder.
Or manslaughter. Armed robbery.
So this appears to be a rare case of the boogeyman in broad daylight coming to your door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because usually when something like this happens, what did I say out in the newsroom? Was this extortion? I asked out loud. I said to the guys, I go, broad daylight. He comes to the back door. They let him in.
But
you always think, because in most of the cases, Scott, there is something going on, not with the couple necessarily. I said, okay. Do you think this was a murder for hire? Do you think someone hired a hitman?
Because who would hire somebody to kill?
They heard there was gold or guns or cash inside this elderly couple's house. I don't think they did anything to bring this to their door. But I wonder, do they know somebody who tips somebody off that, hey, there's a bunch of money in this house?
And there's something else. You just mentioned it. And I read it in the story. He knocked on the back door. If somebody knocks on your back door, are you more or less likely to answer it?
I think you're assuming if they're at the back door, it's someone you know.
Nobody has ever knocked on my back door.
And if they did, you would flip out because you would be like, why is someone at the back door?
I would go straight upstairs and get my guns.
This is Queens, right? So that wouldn't make sense in Western Shawnee.
This is a very, very residential neighborhood, Sam.
Very confusing for that to happen in Western Shawnee. Maybe in Queens, it's pretty typical.
Why would it be typical in Queens? I mean, people don't knock on the back door of your house.
People walk down alleys.
Other neighbors say a man fitting the suspect's description tried to get into several area homes that were for sale, but was told to contact the realtor and left quietly. He was trolling for someone to let him in. That is what is going on here.
To just kill them?
I have a doorbell on my back door.
Yeah, we do too. I bet he wanted money, Scott. And they probably said, we're 78, we're retired, we don't have any money. Why was he in the house 5 hours?
Looking for money?
Didn't you mention the condition the husband was in when they found him?
Oh, it was terrible, Sam. I don't even want to talk about it.
He was tied up in the basement. I know that.
Which makes it very confusing as well, because it's almost like he was in the house charging his phone, decided, wow, it's pretty nice in here. And
I'm going to stay.
And they tried to kick him out, and this is the result.
And we're just spitballing here.
Pure speculation.
He's in the house for 5 hours saying, where's the money? Where are the diamonds? Where are the rings?
I told Scott in the newsroom, it sounds like the Clutter murders, where they went in there.
Kansas?
They went in there under the erroneous assumption that there was money in the house.
And there was not.
And there was not.
Mm-hmm. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798 on Dana and Parks. So we've learned a little bit more about the person they're looking for in Queens.
They have issued a dire warning and be on the lookout for this guy. They have believe they have identified him.
And what was he in prison for 19 years or whatever it was?
He had just served 20-year sentence, and he served 17 of the 20 years. Does that make sense? Like, he was sentenced to 20.
Get 17 on good behavior
he
or whatever.
He served 17 and was on probation for a couple of years. They believe he robbed someone at gunpoint very recently. They were looking for him for that. He is on probation. They also believe he is the one who went to this couple's door, somehow got inside, hung out in the house 5 hours, terrorized this couple, Scott. He was on probation for robbery, sex crimes. He is considered armed, extremely dangerous.
Clearly.
They have called him a career criminal. 42-year-old Jamel McGriff is his name.
So they already know who he is.
They already know who he is.
It sounds because like he committed the same crime.
Multiple people saw him, Scott, in the neighborhood. I think he knocked on a couple of doors. He was asking about a house that was for sale. You know, he has a pretty some pretty distinct facial features.
What do you mean by that?
He just bald, almost shaved eyebrows. Kind of really wide set eyes.
He's got a very, very pronounced jawline.
Really wide set eyes. Like if you saw him, you would remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I go back though. Why does anyone answer their door when if you don't think somebody's coming over?
Because they had lived in that neighborhood. Let's say they lived in that neighborhood 50 years. It's a quiet neighborhood, right? Someone knocks on the door.
So's mine.
Your first thought is, this is Amazon. I answered my door the other day because the guy had a clipboard, and it turned out he was with the county.
Then you told him exactly what you bought the house for.
He asked.
It was a bad decision.
I'm honest.
Now, I will answer the door almost every single time. I mean, you would have to be obviously a ne'er-do-well for me to not answer the door.
How do you know if it's a ne'er-do-well?
Exactly.
Well, that's a great point, but there will be signs.
And what would those signs be, Sam?
I don't know, holding a gun?
I don't think he had a gun, Sam. I think he knocked on the door because he had done it before and said, my cell phone is dead, can I charge my phone?
Do you have x-ray vision?
My point being, I wouldn't let them in the house no matter what.
No.
I would answer the door unless they were waving a gun in front of my Ring doorbell
camera. But Sam, here's what I'm saying. By the time that 70-year-old cracked open that door and said, hi, can I help you? He's in.
And again, I remind you, he knocked on the back door.
Just opening the door is enough to let them in. I'm telling you, I'm never opening my door again.
Wasn't forced entry. They would have said that because they have the Ring doorbell footage. They would say the second he opened the door, the footage shows him plowing through.
The story does say that the 77-year-old man, who is no longer with us,
open the door.
Let him in. No stranger is ever coming into my house.
Yeah, I'm not letting that happen. I'll answer the door. Hi, can I charge my phone? Nope. Have a good day. Click.
I've always told the story where the man and the woman were in their car and they stopped and we were under a tornado watch and it was bad. And they said, can we come in? And I don't remember if they ended up hanging out in my neighbor's garage or I think I let them in my garage because you made fun of me and you said where all of the sharp tools are. So I remember thinking like, I've got kids in the house. I don't know you. I'm not going to let you in.
Exactly, give him the
chainsaw.
But here's the thing, and I'm being serious. I am not paranoid. It's more that I don't want to deal with you. If you're knocking on my door and you're not Heather or Dennis from across the street or one of my neighbors, right? Which I think I would expect you, or Dana or Sam or whomever, you're there for one of two things. You're there to sell me something I don't want.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And so then I have to listen to your spiel, and then I have to say politely, you know, I really appreciate it coming by, but no, thank you. I'm not interested. If I wanted it, I would go out and buy it. So you're either there to sell me something I don't want, or you're there to kill me. Now, I take that back. And by the way, we just got the new Girl Scout.
I was just going to say, what if it's a Girl Scout?
So the Girl Scouts just swung by and they've got this new flavor cookie out called Explore Mores. All right. And we'll taste these here in a little bit.
Can't wait to give that a try.
The one time that I did feel a little guilty.
If it's a child with a wagon selling something.
There was a knock on the door one time. This was about a year ago. I fly up the stairs and grab my gun because I'm paranoid. And I look out the master bedroom closet window.
Primary.
primary closet window. And then I see that it's a young girl and her mom walking down my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a little red wagon behind them where they're selling cookies out of the red wagon.
It's all a ruse. They're there to rob you.
I know.
Yeah, you didn't see the guy hiding behind the bush with
a
knife?
So I did run down as they're walking down the sidewalk to my next neighbor's house. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I came up with some lie. I'm like, I was in the restroom. I just heard a knock on the door. Are you selling Girl Scout cookies? I don't even eat cookies. And I bought like 4 boxes off this young lady. But I confirmed that it was a young girl who was not there to kill me and was there to sell me something, but it's Girl Scout cookies. Who are we kidding? You know?
Neighbors identify the victims as a husband and wife who lived in that home for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, someone knocks. You think maybe it's the Amazon guy. You open the
Does the Amazon guy ever knock? Or I thought they just put it on your front patio or front porch, take a picture, and walk away.
FedEx or UPS might knock, but I don't think Amazon will. But we need to just be very clear here. This is an extremely rare occurrence. I mean, we had the conversation a couple of weeks ago where some guy called in and said, well, what about all those stories about people getting robbed and tied up and beaten? And I'm like, this doesn't happen.
It did today.
And then we get this story about it. This never happens. This is very rare.
Which is why he opened the door, Scott, for exactly that reason, that this never happens.
Chris in Overland Park. Chris, hello.
Hi. Hey, love the show. Thank you for hosting it.
Thank you for letting us.
So this very similar situation happened back in the early 90s in Lenexa. Where a guy knocked on the door and asked for some help with his car. And the car was at that pool up at 87th near Lackman.
Okay.
The house was actually 91st. So very odd for somebody to make it that far into a neighborhood asking for help. But the husband actually went. And he ended up getting killed. And the guy was trying to kidnap the wife to go to the bank because that bank was foreclosing.
Yeah, I sort of remember that.
Michael Mahoney was there. He did the interview with my mom, actually.
Huh.
Yeah, I sort of remember that, Chris. And to Sam's point, it is rare. But when it happens, does it not make us all pause and think, you know, should we all be crazy careful? And I mean crazy careful. Like Scott hitting the deck when his doorbell rings crazy.
I don't
Still
know.
Alive.
I think there's a point you just got to not be scared of life. You know, you got to live it. Things happen.
I agree. I will live life. I'm not answering the doorbell. Good. We have a Ring doorbell camera. I can talk to you through the Ring now. I don't need to see you face to face.
Only when it's the appraiser who wants to up your tax.
Unless you have a clipboard.
And then he's.
Then, yeah.
And then when he asks you,
come on in.
How much did you pay for this house? And you don't legally have to answer that question. And you just offer it up. And then you wonder why when you go to the bank to pay your mortgage, all of a sudden you have to pay more.
Still one of the funniest stories.
Dana.
Four offers first day. We got it.
We got it, baby.
But no, I want to reiterate. This never happens.
You
don't say
twice in 30 years.
What are you talking about?
We have two examples, twice in 35 years.
These are just two examples that we've reported. I mean, and somebody on the text line says, do you guys think you may have read too many headlines in your careers?
Yes.
And now you're paranoid?
Yes.
Maybe. But I'm still alive. I'm still breathing.
I go back to he was asking other neighbors, can I come in and charge my cell phone? Hell no.
Again, I go back. Take the Girl Scout cookie sales gal out of the equation. There's only two reasons somebody knocks on your door if they don't know who you are. They're there to sell you something you don't want, or they're there to kill you. End of story.
And by the way, people do not follow no soliciting signs.
I agree, Sam.
Hate it.
You know what? When you do open the door, it's because we are guilted into trying to believe that all people are good. And they're not. I think most people are good. But I am guilty of not wanting someone to think I think they're a bad person. So, yeah, I'm so sorry. You need me to help you charge your cell phone. Like, I would stammer. That's why I can't open the door.
So answer me this. Unless it's a neighbor or a friend.
Okay.
All right. So you or Sam come over. You guys are obviously friends, very close friends. So, but I would know if you or Sam are coming over to
the
house.
Yes, you would know.
You would tell me.
I would tell you.
Hey,
I'm on my way.
Hey, I'm on my way.
I'm going to start randomly showing up to Scott's house and knocking on the door.
Go ahead. You're going to waste about 30 minutes of your life because I'm not answering if I don't know you're coming. Give me a reason, if it's not a neighbor or a close friend or family member, give me a reason other than to kill you or sell you something that someone would knock on your door.
Okay. It happened once to Mindy. Knock, knock, knock. Can I help you? Big, scary, burly kind of guy who said, and I quote, "Your house is on fire. Yep. Get out."
I was just about to give that.
That would be
example.
A neighbor. That would be a neighbor.
No, he was working next door and was boom, boom, boom. And in fact, they didn't answer because she said to her mom, "Some crazy guy is banging on the front door." And he was, because she said by the time they answered that door, Scott, and they go, "Can I help you?" She said, he goes, "Your house is on fire." She said, "I looked down the hallway and there it was. The smoke was marching down." Anyway.
For my buddy, it was 1 a.m. and his parents were woken up by somebody pounding on the door.
Yes.
And they did the same thing. They were like, "Well, we're ignoring that." And it kept going on for 5-10 minutes. And it was a neighbor who was like, "Hey, dummy, your house is, there's like 15-foot flames coming off the side of your house
right
now."
Oh, my gosh.
I'd get out.
How long does it take when your house is on fire for the smoke alarms to go off?
I'll never find out.
Yeah, that's true.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can go to Macy's.com for just a minute, Dana. Scientists are observing an Earth-like exoplanet that may contain water using the James Webb Space Telescope. The exoplanet, known as TRAPPIST-1e, orbits the red dwarf star TRAPPIST-1.
They said, "Look, there it is."
The system was discovered in 2017. There are 7 Earth-sized worlds orbiting this star, but the planet E is the only one that is at a distance where water on the surface is theoretically possible. However, astronomers say they still need to determine if the planet has an atmosphere. It is many, many light years away, and we will never get there.
Similar to the one that they found where they said, "It appears it may have water based on the color of the gases that would only be created by evaporating water." The Eagles player spit on Dak Prescott.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jalen Carter?
Correct.
Okay.
Now knows his fate. He was suspended for one game and fined $57,222.
Okay, now how do
an expensive loogie.
How do they come up with $57,222?
It does say that he had to forfeit the one game's pay.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that would be one game's pay. I'm not really sure how that works or how they come up with it. However, since he had only played one snap, well, technically hadn't
he
really
didn't even play
snap,
one snap.
They counted the game that he was ejected from as suspension served so that he can play against the Chiefs on Sunday.
No way.
Rick, really?
For the Eagles.
So since he didn't play in the game, they're counting that as the game he didn't get to play?
Yep. I would like to make the argument that since Rashee Rice was out for 6 games last year because of an injury, we should count that as his suspension. We'll suit him up on Sunday. Thanks.
All right. So Apple apparently is coming out with their iPhone 17.
I can't keep up with how many of those
they're
there
calling
are.
It iPhone Air.
A-I-R, Air?
A-I-R, yeah.
Okay.
Marking the first substantial addition to its iPhone lineup since the full-screened iPhone X launched in 2017, or am I to read that 10, iPhone 10?
Yes.
Okay. It is the tech giant's bid to keep its foothold in a rapidly changing smartphone market where competitors Google and Samsung are chipping away at Apple's lead. Apple's newest phones largely retain the design of its predecessors.
They all largely retain the design of its predecessors.
The design hasn't changed since Steve Jobs died.
Extending a strategy of staying the course on a product that remains the dominant smartphone in the United States. The
biggest scam in the world.
It really is. Every year they put out, and I know you guys make fun of me, and that's fine. You know, I'm the old curmudgeon on the show. I get it. This iPhone 8 that I have in my hand still works perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And I swear to God, Apple, every year, they could make, you know, the most incredible smartphone. But every year they hold one thing back.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So that they can add it next year and force you to go out and spend another $1,000.
Yeah.
I have not bought a new phone.
Oh, it's been years.
Since whenever the iPhone 8 came out.
At some point, what will happen is your carrier will say, it's time for an upgrade. Well, just come get the upgrade.
And you can buy, by the way, a new iPhone 8. It's like the iPhone SE or whatever. It's essentially the iPhone 8, but it's the newer hardware.
SE, does that stand for senile?
That's right. That's right.
Didn't you say that they're going to force me, that like they're going to make this phone?
I'm surprised they haven't already. And I do believe that you can't on that phone download the newest iOS, which means that you don't have any of the safety protocols that Apple implements. But their newest claim to fame with the iPhone 17 is that it's only 3 nickels thick. So if you stack 3 nickels, that's how thick it is, right?
Okay.
3 nickels thick.
Yep. My phone came out 7 years ago. I've had it for 7 years. Go ahead and take a look at it. I'm holding it up for you.
Okay.
It is less than 3 nickels thick.
But they're...
So you want me to go out and spend $1,700
on one that's bigger
so that you can give me technology that Samsung came out with more than 7 years ago.
Here we go with the Android.
I know it. I know it. It's a thing.
It's every single year. If they would come out with a new product, I would support them. But they haven't since Steve Jobs died. Okay, off my soapbox.
No, Sam, you're lying. You would never buy an Apple. You are Android to the death.
That's not true. I think Mac is a far superior computer.
I'm talking about phones.
Anyway, if they would come out with a new product,
you would never buy an Apple because you would think that you had sold out.
It is time for a new phone. I considered switching to Apple, and then I looked at their specs and realized that they haven't changed since, when did Steve Jobs die?
I don't know. Android users are the most bitter, angry people.
It's my life. You're the one that brought up that you haven't bought a new phone in ages because they're all the same.
Well, they are all the same.
Yeah, bitter and angry.
586-7798. News in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.